Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Welcome to Tall Cat Psychic 101, everything you ever wanted to know about the paranormal but were afraid to ask. I'm Karen Tall Cat Conley, psychic medium and demystifier of woo-woo. It's my belief that we are all divine beings capable of inner knowing and interdimensional communication. I'm coming to you from the White Mountains of Arizona. And if you're in Pine Top, Arizona this Friday, I'll be talking with the dead at Wings of Light at 6 p.m. Check out www.KarenTallCatWithAK.com. That's KarenTallCatWithAK.com. Now, onward and upward to my wonderful guest. I am so happy to have James Gilead with us tonight. You know, it could be said that James is out of this world, at least some of the time. James is with us right here from As You Wish Radio on BBS. Two for one, host to host, the truth is out there. The other reason I'm excited to talk with him is because ever since I was a little kid, I had a feeling that there was some form of advanced life out there, and I'm sure many other people did too. When I saw the old black and white science fiction movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, and Close Encounters, I was even more sure that a part of our greater family was out there somewhere. One cannot gaze upon a vast, dark sky at night, the Milky Way, which is a backdrop into forever, and not wonder. We really need more wonder. Now, I met James in person recently at an orb conference, and what I noticed most about him was his natural, grounded energy and his sense of humor about his life, about his books, and his adventures. James, for those of you that don't know, among other things, is a UFOologist, I guess is how you say it, ufologist, with extensive, authentic documentation of close encounters on his property located in Washington State. When I say documentation, what I'm referring to consists of actual photos, 11 hours of video, over 700 eyewitnesses, including astrophysicists, scientists, aeronautic space engineers, Air Force and commercial pilots, employees in the aviation industry, and something he might tell us about later called anomalous leaf growth on a tree. There were two landings this year of off-world craft that have been documented, all of which adds up to extraordinary evidence. He lives in Mount Adams, Washington, in Satsa Sanctuary, a mountain retreat dedicated to healing. It's there he operates the Self-Mastery Institute, and that's where he founded the organization ACETI, Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence. The sanctuary is a dimensional portal where ETs travel to and from the Earth. James says, up here we don't watch TV, we watch UFOs, orbs, UFOs, and ETs. James has communicated with Palladians, those from the Andromeda, and ETs from the Orion constellation. He also has authored several books, Becoming Gods, Reunion with Source 1 and 2, and a new book that I think is out with advanced sales even, called The Ultimate Soul Journey. The most amazing is his movie, Contact Has Begun, This is a documentary of his contact with the off-worlders, and I've seen it. I own it. It contains beautiful ETs, beautiful and real UFO video footage. Just so you know, and I don't forget, to order one of James' books or his DVD, Contact Has Begun, or to find out about speaking engagements or events, you can log on to ecceti.org or email ufojames@gorge.net. That's GORGE.net. Or for the movie, www.contacthasbegun.com. Okay, James, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I want to start right off because I have so many things I want to chat with you about, and I know the listeners want to hear. My first question would be this. You know, the title of your show is As You Wish, and I believe mm-hmm. there's a story connected to that. What is the story behind the title of your show, As You Wish?
That was the last words I heard after my, you know, NDE, the near-death experience, after I went through the tunnel and had a long conversation with the source, and I told them I want to teach people the true nature of God, what it really is, and dispel these old wrathful images, you know, and the last words I heard were As You Wish, and I was back in my body.
I so love that. And tell us what your accident was, how it occurred that you had the NDE.
Well, I was out body surfing, and these sneaker waves came in, and I think they're about, in the newspaper, they said they're 17 to 25-foot tall waves, and slammed me pretty hard the first wave. I tried to get under it and couldn't get under it, and then it hit me so hard it collapsed my diaphragm, and I couldn't breathe.
Oh.
And then the next wave came and hit me and held me under, and after the third wave, I just let go and went through the tunnel.
And what was the tunnel like?
Well, I was moving very fast through this tunnel, and I saw many levels that I went through, and I ended up in this golden plane of bliss and experienced this golden, pure golden light that was conscious. And it was communicating to me, and I was unique yet one. I was part of the light, but there was a greater light and a greater consciousness surrounding me. And I had quite a conversation with that source.
My goodness. Well, I don't think I'll ever hear the title of your show quite the same anymore now that I've heard that story.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of a As You Wish universe because, you know, the first thing I did was I asked, how can I stay? And the voice came back to me, and it says you can come or go anytime. That's free will. And then I asked, how can I earn the right to stay? And it came back to me and said, you cannot earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And so just floating in that bliss, you know, I just said, how can I serve? You know, what can I do? And I didn't get any answer for a long time, and then finally the voice came back to me and says, what do you want to do? What brings you joy? And then I said, you know, I there's so many images of God, this wrathful being and all this nonsense and holding people in fear and guilt and unworthiness, and I'd like to come back and dispel those images. And I just heard, As You Wish, and I was back in the body.
Well, you know, James, when I hear that story, it makes me wonder. It doesn't seem like you really started out with the idea of investigating extraterrestrial life forms and intelligence. Is that right?
No, not at all. I was on a very intense, probably 30-year quest to re-experience the source and reconnect, you know, without drowning myself. And so I was on a very intense journey, and I studied all the basic traditions and studied with a lot of Native American traditions with yogis and lamas and you know, really got into it. And I just pretty much realized that, you know, everybody has a path, and they all lead to the same place, and they all have different names for the signposts along the way. But eventually, you know, we all came from the same source, and we all return to the same source. And, you know, it's time we wake up to that and stop, you know, warring and competing and you know, destroying our environment and everything else that we're doing right now, and learn to live in harmony with each other and nature.
Well, we're in such a self-destructive cycle.
Yeah.
So unfortunate. But James, when I think about your, you know, your wonderful movie, and I've seen you in your appearances, and you do such a great presentation. You know, you're funny and you're lighthearted, and somebody might, you know, look at you and the work that you're doing, and if they didn't know any better, they might think, well, you know, he's kind of like living almost a semi-charmed life in a way. But there must be another personal side to your type of work, is there?
Well, yes, it's to me. I love, there's one saying that one of the yogis once said. He said, you don't swell with pride when people are praising you, and you don't shrink with fear when they're condemning you. And there's both sides of the coin, because whenever you bring in this unlimited knowledge or advanced knowledge, it goes against, you know, all the old social consciousness programs, you might say. And, you know, there's people out there that have written books, and they want to defend their books. And even though the books are, you know, filled with recycled ignorance, they want to maintain their position as an authoritarian or whatever. So, you know, definitely get a lot of muck thrown my way, and, you know, a lot of attacks from fanatics, you might say, in the different faiths or religions every once in a while. But, you know, mainly what I've seen is the most aggression I've experienced is not really from, you know, any of the religious communities or anything else. It's all come within the UFO community and our own government, basically.
That is really interesting. And that says a lot in itself, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's sad, but in the UFO community, it's filled with so much disinformation and misinformation, and there's a lot of people on the circuit that have kind of sold out, you might say, or there's a lot of them out there just looking for notoriety, and they want to generate a following and finances and things like that. So it's a real crazy field out there, you know, what's sad is it's separated, you know, into, you know, you have the disinformation boys, and then you have the black projects and the abductions and all the other stuff, and then you have the people that think it's just, you know, they're just observing us, and then you have the other people that think they're here to help us. And what's interesting is it's all going on. All of it is going on. And a lot of it depends on the mind in which you seek, you know, is the mind in which you connect. And so if you focus on the negative aspects of it, you know, that's all you're going to experience. And if you focus on the positive, the same thing can happen. And I try to focus more on the more benevolent side of it, which is really where we're evolving to right now. We're evolving into a reunion with the rest of the universe, and you know, we're moving in that direction, and the old contact scenario is pretty much phasing out, you know, with the abductions and all the other, the fear around that and everything else, and we're moving into a much more spiritual connection with some very spiritually and technologically advanced beings right now.
It does seem completely different, the communication from the off-worlders, as you call it, than it used to be, because even in the fairly, you know, recent past, it seems to me, as I recall, that, you know, the UFOs, at least the presentations I was in touch with, they were kind of cat and mouse with us. We'd see them and then not see them. And now it's almost like there's a, well, it's like Hope and Randy talked about orbs, the veil is lifting. It's almost like the communication barrier is lifting. And
exactly.
It's much easier.
It's definitely much easier to get those telepathic messages and make contact and actually see, you know, into these other dimensions as well, because the veils are coming down. And, you know, before it took years and years and years of meditation and training and things of that nature to be able to do this, and now it's just coming natural for a lot of people.
It's so beautiful that it is coming natural, because it's almost as though, you know, if you're just going along and you're in your own process of evolution, and like you said, the mind you seek with is the mind you connect with, and if you're coming from the pure heart, the open heart, and the pure intention, you can almost bump into this.
Oh, yeah. You know, Jay-Z Knight has a wonderful video out called UFOs and the Brain, I believe, and, you know, she explains in there how you really do not see with your eyes. You actually see with your brain. And out of the billions of bits of information that's coming through your eyes, your brain chooses which parts of that information it wants to accept or be part of its reality. So, you know, basically everybody goes, well, I'll believe it when I see it, and really it's the opposite. You have to have the neural net and believe it before you can see it.
Yes, you'll see it when you believe it.
Exactly. It's hard for people to understand that's how it works, but that is the way that the brain works, and the more they study this, the more they realize when they open up the brain and start accessing the higher dimensions, you start having these incredible experiences. They just come with the path to enlightenment.
Well, I know Michal Ledwith said when he was researching his orb phenomena, he took so many thousands of pictures of orbs that he actually began to train himself to see the orbs without the camera technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked one day in his yard and he saw this big, beautiful sphere just rise up in front of him, and he looked at it and he turned and went back in the house and then stopped and said, wait a minute, I just saw an orb. And I had to go back out the door.
Yeah.
So it is subtle and kind of unexpected in the way, you know, we have so many preconceived ideas about what contact would be like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, earlier today when you and I were speaking, I asked you a question I'd wondered about. When you're talking with an entity or an energy or a life force that's out of the universe, does the communication seem different than it would from an angel or an ascended master? And your answer was that it isn't.
No, it's what's interesting is when you get into the ultra-dimensional experiences, they are very angelic and very, it sounds, or feels just like you're talking with an ascended master, because you feel this incredible love and this wisdom coming to you, and it's just, there's really, you can't really tell the difference. You know, I think a lot of people, when they're meditating and being contacted, actually think they're talking to angels and masters, when a lot of times they're actually talking to some very advanced Pleiadians, or they might be talking to the Orion Council of Light or some Andromedans, which are mythologically known as archangels.
Really? Andromedans are?
Yes. Uh-huh. They're very tall beings. They have magnetized light bodies. And when you look at them, the energy bands coming out of them look like a magnet, more like an elongated magnetic field. So you're seeing the energy lines coming out of them that look like wings. And a lot of people mistake them for wings, and because they can fly and appear and disappear at will anywhere they want, they give them these massive wings, you know.
Oh, that is so fascinating. And it, from what I read, as you've communicated, it looks like with, you know, these three groups, I guess, mostly Palladians, the Andromedas, mm-hmm. and the Orion constellation, is that right?
Yeah, there's quite a few others that I've had contact with, and some that look really bizarre. I mean, if you were to see them, most people would, like, turn and run the other way, you know.
You know, that's a question I really want to ask you, is what do they look like? Because I know everybody would want to know that.
Well, there's different kinds. You know, they come in every size, shape, and color, it seems. And we have to learn to sense the intent and the energies around a being to actually work in this field. And, you know, some of them may look kind of bizarre, you know, and pretty freaky. And you see one, a lot of people would turn around and run the other way. But in their souls, they're very, very advanced, very loving, and very wise. And so, you know, it's like seeing a Yoda or something like that, you know.
Yes.
You know, you might have an incredibly enlightened, wise being there that's in a really strange body.
And, you know, it's important, like you said, to tune in more to the, you know, the energy that comes off of the being than the appearance.
Yeah, you can sense intent. You can actually feel. We have our own little sensing abilities, our own inner sensitivity, that when we activate that, we can sense the intent of a being. And the old saying, by their fruits you'll know them. And a lot of people hook up to beings in the lower astral level and things of that nature and get in trouble because they hook in with some spirits that aren't very advanced or aren't very evolved. And you can see by their work, because, you know, a lot of them are really getting people to worship outside of self and look in, all the power goes outside, where if you talk to any master teacher or any of these higher beings, they tell you to focus on the God within and make your own personal God connection. It's a totally different reality.
That the urging to make your own inner God connection to me is like the hallmark or the ultra test to know what kind of energy you're receiving.
And you know exactly, and there's sometimes vanity feedings, and they'll say you're the chosen one, you know, or you're this galactic commander here to save the world, or all these things. And we've done all that, you know, in the past and everything, but. You know, we have to be careful that, you know, with these vanity feedings, because they create a division and a separation. And with me, I always tell people I'd just as soon be called nobody. And everybody goes, well, that's really demeaning. I go, well, actually, it's not, because, you know, out of the nothing comes everything. And the more you lose your identity and your separativeness, the more you are one with everything. So.
That's so true.
I don't need all the labels, you know, that.
All the labels are not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, I had an experience once that was in a dream state. I was visited by three beings that I knew were not from this universe, although I couldn't really see what they looked like. But, you know, we spoke thought to thought. And one of the things, first thing I said was, I glanced an outline of them, and they were put together in my understanding very strangely, because I'm used to a head, two arms, two legs, you know, like that. Uh-huh. And I said, well, you guys really are strange looking. And they started laughing and said, well, how do you think you appear to us? And we both had a really good giggle over it. You know, so it's just, you know, like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And it's fascinating to think of other designs, the vast and endless array of design. And I would guess that some of the beings from other universes actually don't have bodies at all.
Oh, yeah, there's, you know, the best way to explain it, if people understand the vibrational continuum, they can understand UFOs, the ships, and the beings that ride the ships, because what you have is we have a physical body, and there's ships that are physical here, and there's ships and bodies that are less dense physical than ours, and then there's some ships that are just pure energy ships with energy beings on board, and There are beings with magnetized light bodies that have these massive light ships. And then there's vehicles called like Merkaba vehicles that are just pure consciousness. They're a collective consciousness sometimes of might be five beings, and there are seven beings or nine. You know, they have different groups that come together in these ships, and then they as a collective, they fly around, and they're more like a Merkaba vehicle. So when we understand that, the vibrational continuum, we can understand the nature of these ships and some of the dimensions that they come from. And the best way to understand the dimensions is just get a chart of the light spectrum. And, like we have Hertzian, this physical reality is Hertzian. I think you have infrared and invisible light and ultraviolet on up. And there's whole civilizations that exist on each one of these frequencies.
That is just endlessly fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, as I understand it, the visible light spectrum is not like we learn in religious teachings, that it's, you know, there's things up high and things low, but sort of more lateral, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's more like expanding spirals or something like that. I know, you know, Michal does. I like Michal's hamburger universe. It cracks me up where he has us. You know, I guess as the meat in the middle, and then hell below, and then the top of the bun is heaven, I guess.
He is so wonderful. It's such an
amazing at the conference, we had dinner, and I bought him a hamburger. It was really funny. He was sitting there with his hamburger, you know, with the ketchup coming out, and we took a picture of it. It was a classic.
So perfect. He is such an amazing, brilliant man, and yet when you speak to him, it's like almost like speaking to. He has such a sense of wonder, like a little child. You know,
we are. It's funny because our paths are so similar, and we're. You know, he's coming at it from a little different angle, but it seems like basically, you know, our whole function in coming in is to dispel this old wrathful God image and give people the real history of how this came about, and to break people away from that outer worship and get them to go within, you know, like all the masters said, even Jesus, you know, the temple is within, you know, to go within and make your own God connection. And you know, even his prayer was, Beloved Father, let them become one as we are one. So that whole function is what, you know, he's just doing a miraculous job. You know, he has a DVD out. I think it's the How Jesus Became the Christ.
I think that is the title of it.
I believe that is. And it's amazing because he talks about the real path of Jesus. And he went through all the Egyptian mystery schools and, you know, went to and learned from the yogis and the lamas and incorporated all that into his own teachings. So his teachings are very universal in nature, and they aren't to be separated into religious, you know, programs and things of that nature. They're very unifying, and unfortunately they've, you know, kings and institutions have gotten a hold of them and said they're mine, you know.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, I heard him speak out at Ramses School in Yelm.
Mm-hmm.
From the School of Enlightenment, and we just sat at his feet for hours, and we could have listened to him for days, and
mm-hmm.
he spoke about the hamburger universe, and the first time I heard that, I'll never forget the impression it made on us. My husband and I still to this day discuss aspects of that. It was a major revelation to me.
And the way he lines that out, too, the way he lines out the capricious God, or says, look, and he shows all the stuff in the Bible, and he said, look, this guy's wrathful, he's judgmental, he's psychotic, he's, you know, here's all the things he's doing here, you know, and like, come on, you know, would you want your father to treat you that way, you know, like.
It seems so totally silly when you do get a handle on it, but the
mm-hmm.
the tragic part of it is that those teachings, we think we are no better than that, but like Miha described it, at a weak moment, maybe at transition, those traditional teachings can come back and sort of bite you in the butt.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, having my own experience, see, I came back and I read the Bible mainly for self-defense. I didn't read it, thank God, because I'd already experienced God in my own near-death experience, and I experienced just the most unconditionally loving, joyous, blissful energy beyond anything we can imagine, and we personify that and turn it into a judging being, human being with an ego and everything else, and it's so far beyond that. And anytime you have a name or an image, you've personified it and you've separated it from the whole. So and we have to go back and say, well, what created that? You know, where did that come from? You know, it was kind of interesting because, I had 17 ministers show up here one day, and it was really funny. I talked about that in my talk in Palm Springs. And we went through the Bible, you know, and I showed them where everything we were doing was in there. You know, and, you know, even channeling, they said, no, you guys are channelers. And I said, well, you know, that's how the books were written, you know, the ancient books were written, the prophecies, everything, you know, and I go, right here, Jesus says there shall come a day where angels will descend upon men and speak through men, you know. And I go, what's that other than channeling, you know. And then the reincarnation, I said, well, he said John is Elijah who was to come. I said, Elijah was an old prophet. Now he's back. I go, there's your reincarnation right there. And I quoted several other pieces in there. But, you know, we had a really good talk, and they were kind of blown away. And they said, we're going to go read, and we'll be back. And they didn't come back, but.
Yes, I can understand. But, you know, it's interesting, like you said, it's not so much that you see, you know, great resistance to the idea of, you know, life beyond this, our Earth, our planet, from
mm-hmm.
Traditional religious people so much as the competition or discussion among the people in the, like you say, the circuit, you know, the
yeah.
other UF people and the other, you know, spiritual people the money-making end of it all.
Yeah, I know when you're authentic and you're really there in pure service mode and you're trying to enlighten the people and you have maybe a little more of the enchilada or the pie than they do, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just a lot of jealousy and a lot of, you mirror back to them, you know, what some of their things that they really should be evolving towards and you know, the jealousy and the competition, all that stuff rears its head. And, you know, it's really sad. I addressed that at one of the International UFO Congresses where I
you
spoke.
Did?
And Yeah, and I told him, I said, you know, you've got a piece of pie, you've got a piece of the pie, you've got a piece of the pie. Why don't you all get together and put it on the table, and then you'll have the whole pie, you know?
Yes.
And so, I said, this competition and nonsense that's going on is working right into the hands of the disinformation people and the people that are trying to, you know, they don't have to do anything. The people that want to keep this quiet and keep, they don't have to do anything. All they have to do is just leave the UFO community alone, and they take care of that.
They
create all the chaos and problems you can imagine, you know. So
yeah, they're just tripping over their own egos right and left. You know,
if they could just drop, it's amazing if everybody could just drop that and work together and, you know, move back into that impeccable integrity and just say, you know, we just want to know. We want to know the truth, the whole truth, the interdimensional truth, and not just a piece of it anymore. And, you know, with all these guys that come here, I share everything with them, even the footage. And I just said, just get it out there. Get, you know, and I try to educate as many people as I can.
That's what's so important. And I love, too, how you said in your movie, Contact Has Begun, James, you said there's really nothing special about filming contact with UFOs or contacting ETs. It's just a matter of an open heart, a pure intention, and simply just being there. And you told a story about the days of the see me, dig me, I'm so spiritual are over. And I love that expression. But there was a story about one time at your ranch up there, you had like 16 acres full of orbs during a sky watch when people had come up to spend time at the sanctuary and watch the sky at night for, you know, for activity. And you had 16 acres full of beautiful orbs. And some male said something like, if you want to see orbs, I'll show you orbs. And he started to chant really loud, and they immediately, boom, gone.
Yeah, he was a Native American. And, you know, I work a lot with a lot of the chiefs and elders, and they know what I'm doing, and they're very, you know, grateful for bringing this out. And, you know, there's no problem there. But every once in a while you run into one that is kind of playing the Indian card, you might say.
I've seen that. You know, I live here in Arizona where there's quite a few tribes here, and I've seen that, the Indian card where they sort of run a game on the white people.
Yeah. And, well, that's what this guy was doing. And
I asked some of
the other elders, I go, what do you do with these guys? I go, did you listen to his talk? I said, he totally slammed even the Native American tradition, you know, all of it. And they go, same thing you do with your ministers, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, we just let them hang themselves, you know. So I thought that was kind of funny. But, yeah, he just went and started screaming these chants, like, just screaming out in the field. And he did. He cleared the whole field. I mean, everything left. Yeah, and that's one thing they just don't want to have anything to do with, it is that male patriarchal energy, you know, that, you know, they're all about that love, and especially that divine feminine love, our children. That really brings them in more than anything else.
That's so beautiful. And there's a question I picked up from somewhere in one of your writings that you said the question about the ETs that are visiting here, the question shouldn't be, are they really here? Are they here? But why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and,
we really know they're here.
And
for one instance, in your movie, I was blown away by one of the film footages that you showed. I think it might have been the one from Peru or somewhere out of the country, that it was a whole flotilla of ships in the air. You said in one frame you counted as many as you could count, it was over 200.
Yeah, and that was just in one frame. And if you scanned across the horizon, there were just, the whole horizon was full of them. And that was both in Mexico and Peru, both. They're having the same experience. And what's interesting is we aren't hearing a thing about it. It's on their mainstream news. It's all over their news coverage, you know. And here you don't, I mean, this is a world event that's happening, and we're not hearing a thing about it.
Isn't that most interesting? And
yeah.
Another thing I loved, James, was that you talked about, I never knew about this sort of stuff, maybe other people do, but I found this interesting, that you've had the alphabet people, you know, all the CIA or FBI or whatever people out at your ranch at different times, and that they have actually done a lot of what's called back engineering from, I assume it is from crafts that have ships, physical ships that have crashed here, and they found remains, and so they back engineered or rebuilt or tried to take learning from what the remains that were left. And that when they see the activity in the skies over your sanctuary, they look up there, the people that have back-engineered things themselves, and say, well, I can tell you that's not one of ours.
Yeah, they actually came on the Art Bell Show when I was interviewed there, and I brought, the first time I brought a couple of Boeing engineers on, and then the second time there was three Boeing engineers there, and one had a triple PhD, and they were Skunk Works. You know, they were the guys that worked on it. And they testified on the show. They said, look, this is real. It was during the show. They all started screaming and hollering during the show. And this big ship came out and just flew right over the house. And,
and
they saw 7 points of light and this massive ship coming in and flew right up, came right up to them, got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it stopped and then it backed away and it went back again. And, you know, they testified and they said, you know, I don't know what that is. He said, it's not ours. All we know is whoever that is, they have incredible technologies. And they actually bilocate. One ship can turn into three or four ships, and we have that on film, where they land and turn into multiple ships. And, you know, they can jump time and distance and space and bilocate and replicate themselves. They're not constrained by the laws that we know of. You know, they just have incredible technologies. And that particular one we were filming was actually an Arcturian ship that was doing this multiple bilocations, you might say, of the ship.
My goodness. That is amazing. Well, you know, not only do they have the ability to, you know, bilocate and you know, move in any direction whatsoever they want to, but don't they, out at your sanctuary, isn't there Mount Adams, isn't there, doesn't it appear as though they go into the mountain and out of it?
Yes, it's very similar to Shasta. We have the same events happening here, and there's a Native American legend that there is a major crystal city underneath the mountain, and they used to go within and take their sick or ill or wounded and drop them off, and they'd take them inside and then bring them back out, and they would be completely healed. So it has a long history. Kenneth Arnold actually lost sight of the ships when they descended on the western slopes of Mount Adams, and he coined the word flying saucers, actually, in 47, I believe. But, you know, Dr. J. L. Hynek, all of these people have been up here doing investigations. Now, the one thing that was happening with all these other investigations is that the ships are being very elusive, and they could never film them, or you know, they would, every time they got their gear up or, you know, got everything ready to go, the ships were gone, and there was no cooperation. So it was very frustrating with them. But we took a different approach. We took a more enlightened approach, and we did our clearing work and our healing work and went into meditation and connected with them spiritually and asked them, you know, who they were, why they're here, and you know, said we'd love to contact. And so we've been very successful, and they actually cooperate with us, and they bring their ships in and let us film them. And that's why we've gotten, I think we have over 70 hours of footage now.
My God.
Of these ships, and I don't even know what to do. I mean, it's all in boxes, and everybody goes, aren't you afraid of being taken? I go, no, they keep coming back, you know.
Yes, of course.
We just keep filming them. It doesn't matter. You know,
well, you know, I've seen some of those film footages when you guys actually ask them to power up, or you know, you've connected with them in a conscious way, and the light actually moves toward the camera, gets bigger and glows and hovers there for a while. And I loved your expression; you called it sort of dazzle duty.
Yeah, they come down and do duty. Yeah, they do a little dazzle duty for the people here. And
now that's a big change from a cat and mouse. I think I saw one. Maybe I didn't. To conscious back and forth communication, where they actually seem to, it's almost as though when I watch the film footage, like they kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, they're responding both to human consciousness, and they're responding to lights and lasers. We have lasers, and we have a lot of footage of us shooting lasers up to the ships, and then they respond back by, you know, becoming just huge, you know, lights in the sky. They power their ships up and they become enormous. So it's undeniable. I, you know, people go, well, that's all, you know, bull, you know, that's not happening and this and that. And I just, to me, it's like there's enough evidence for any reasonable mind to agree that, A, we know when they're coming. They come when they say they're coming. They do respond to the people on the ground. We've got 70 hours of footage, and then we have, you know, we have multiple PhD physicists coming here. We have Air Force base commanders that have been here, alphabet agencies, all of these people, pilots, air traffic controllers, have all been here and have seen the ships, and the evidence is just overwhelming. And so basically the only thing we have left is the unreasonable and, you know, the people with agendas that are saying this isn't happening. And to me, it's like they just shoot themselves in the foot. You know, it's their integrity that's in question after the evidence is presented. But
you know, there's one thing for someone to say that they're channeling, you know, an energy from another universe or galaxy, but it's another when you have tons of tangible evidence and backed up by people that are that study in the field and are specialists. It's pretty incredible, James.
Yeah, I've seen the only problems we're having, all you have to do is when you see somebody attacking you is go and look at their background and track them back, and you'll see that they work for some intelligence agency or some military intelligence or whatever else, and they're most likely still working with them. So, you know, we just go back and look at their background, and we document. Like one guy, I won't mention his name, but it's a major UFO reporting center, but we have, you know, tons of documentation of denying what was happening here, denying reports, altering reports, changing, you know, locations of events, you name it, and just right. coming after us constantly. And it all, what we did is we just documented all of it, and then we put it out as a report, and you know, pretty much he lost all, you know, credibility whatsoever. But, you know, we usually don't do anything. We just let them speak and let them, you know, hang themselves, and they usually do eventually.
Well, could you tell us about someone that you met from Orion by the name of Malia?
Oh, Malia, yeah. She's, what I find is the energies of these beings are very different, and the Palladians are very giddy, high energy. It's very loving and kind of a giddy energy. When I connected with this Orion Council of Light woman, there was a love there, but boy, it was a powerhouse, and it was no messing around. I mean, they were down to business, and they're the initiators. And she was the one that sent the beam through the wall and hit me right in the chest with three gold balls of energy down coming behind it, which that returned to me all of my memories, you know, my past life memories, everything, even off-world memories. And then the next thing I know, I was on the ship, and they can teleport you right out of your body and take one of your higher bodies on the ship and have a conversation with you. And how much you remember that depends on your spiritual evolution, you might say, because, you know, at night we're going all over the place. We're out of our bodies. We're having all kinds of experiences, but we just don't remember it. And if we meditate, the more we meditate, the more we start remembering those experiences, and the veils become thinner. And once you come from that world into this physical world through that veil, you lose the memory of what happened to you over there. But it is still in your subconscious. It's just not in your conscious mind.
Oh, that is so fascinating. Do you recall anything about what happened to you when you were on the ship?
Well, you know, what's funny because it happened to me while I was in the bathtub. And I was meditating. I said, you know, I just want to know what this is about. What's my role here? I'm seeing all the ships and everything. What's my connection? And basically I go, I don't care if it kills me. I want to know what is this all about. And next thing you know, this beam comes through the wall and hits me in the chest. And
boom.
So I asked for it, you know. And it left a burn mark in the middle of my chest, which was there, and it was real strange. It morphed into like a triangle and then a heart shape and then just went away and left this kind of a golden crust on it, and it was totally painless. But there's pictures on the website and in the presentation that I show of the marks, you know, that it left on my chest. You know, but you know, I told them I wanted proof that this is a real event, and that was the proof. They left the big mark in the middle of my chest.
Like a big bullseye.
Yeah, I couldn't deny him. Every time I looked in the mirror in the morning, there was this big burn mark in the middle of my chest.
I know. Like that, sort of like that cartoon that says, bummer of a birthmark, Hal, and it's a deer with a big bullseye on it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so, but, you know, it wasn't painful, and it really solidified my mission and who I am and why I'm here, and you know, and a lot of us are having experiences, but not grounded in them, and we're still trying to figure it out. Okay, what is going on? I know there's a connection and things like that. And that's basically what we do here is we help people make sense out of that and help them get on with who they really are and get on with their purpose for being here.
Well, that's what I like so much about everything that you do, James. You have this really wonderful balance, and you know, this is so much needed because the veil is lifting. It's these appearances of many things, orbs, ETs, UFOs, all kinds of earth changes, big, massive events, and it's a, you know, we're in the midst of a great change, deep shift, you know, transformative times, and somebody like you that's in the midst of all this, you know, in a location that's considered a, you know, a hot spot, more or less, for UFO activity. How wonderful that someone can go there, ask questions, and come away, you know, with their feet on the ground and their heart still in place.
Yeah, and have their own experience, which is real important, because, you know, when you see pictures and you hear other people, it's still out there somewhere. But when you come here and you see it yourself and you feel the energy exchange and the connection, it totally changes your world and really helps people expand into a greater reality and you know, the understanding that we're not alone in the universe, and maybe it's time we start, you know, initiating some help with the mess that we've created down here.
Well, that seems to be the message from that we get from the our greater family, from other galaxies and other universes, is, you know, that there is no separation, that we are all one. I heard a shaman speak one time that didn't speak English. He spoke in Spanish and had a translator. And one of the questions from the audience was, what was his ideas about ETs? And his answer was something like, none are extra, all are one, all terrestrial. You know, there's no, quote, extra, you know, meaning we are all one. There is, it's an illusion that we're separate. And it
all
seems
right
to me that these greater beings that have advanced and evolved have probably experienced the same struggles in their soul evolution as we have.
You know, a lot of them are us returning, and so there are ancient ancestors that are returning that left, you know, during the cataclysms and didn't have to start over as primitive. So they continue to evolve both spiritually and technologically. And some are coming from the interior, because a lot of the Atlanteans actually hooked up with some other beings as well and went underground to get away from the cataclysm. So it's not just extraterrestrial, it's coming from within. There's huge cities, you know, like Shasta and you know, in Tibet, and there's underground cities with extremely advanced beings with very advanced technology coming from the interior as well. So it's not just that, you know, people say, well, what is it? Is it, you know, what, are they extraterrestrial? And I said, some of them are, you know, and some of them are coming from, you know, the inner earth and from areas of that nature. And I said, some of them are coming from time, you know, they're coming from our future and coming back in time and trying to get us to wake up so we don't, you know, become these mutilated, you know, corpse-looking beings. You know, who took the war and plague program, you know, to the limit. So there's all kinds of things happening and right now, and it's not just one thing. That's the hard part for people to wrap their minds around, is they think it's just one thing happening, and it's not. There's a whole lot of things happening.
How interesting. I love that. And as I understand, there's things underwater, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's underwater bases. And, you know, these ships, even that can fly out in space, they can fly underwater as well. And, you know, we haven't searched. I think we know more about space than we do our own oceans. So,
isn't that? I've often thought that. You know, we've neglected that dimension. underwater
exactly.
dimension. I've always thought of that as another dimension. The first time I scuba dived in Key West, I said, oh, my God, I feel like I went to outer space.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a whole other realm.
You know, and there's intelligent life there, too. The whales and the dolphins, you know, are extremely intelligent. And, you know, if we just see them as dumb fish, that's what we're going to experience. But if we open our hearts and minds to them, we're going to find out that they're very enlightened. And we could learn a lot about pod consciousness, you know, and how they function and operate as a team and work together.
Oh, couldn't we, though?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would so be awesome.
You know, I had a radio show where I was doing a show from the beach in Santa Cruz, and mm-hmm. this dolphin just comes out of the water right up on the beach and just stares at me while I'm doing the show.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I had to stop the show. I just said, you know, I can't let this go. I said, I've got this dolphin came out of the water. He's sitting right here staring at me. It's a big dolphin, and I got a major transmission from this dolphin and then started talking about, I said, what I'm getting is that, you know, they're not judgmental. They don't feel themselves as victims or anything else, but they're really concerned about what we're doing to the oceans and the dead zones and our human consciousness and how we've separated ourselves from, you know, the rest of nature and the rest of life, you know. And we think the Creator is not omnipresent within all creation, that it's this little old man up there with a beard, and that's totally incorrect, you know, because, you know, we need to pull the dictionary out mm-hmm. again and look up the word omnipresent, you know,
Absolutely.
The Creator is within all creation.
You know, I try to teach those concepts when I'm teaching, and I often say that, you know, God is not a person. It's an intelligence inside of everything, every blade of grass, everything. And it's, you know, I only learned that myself in the last mm-hmm. few years, but it's so important. I love to share it. And it's interesting the reactions you see on people's faces. It's stunning to them. You know,
the way it was explained to me is they said it's the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness throughout the multiverses. And and basically, and you access it from within. And that's what Buddha said, too. The whole universe is within. And what they're saying is when you become one with that one consciousness, you're one with everything and everyone, and when you reach that level of enlightenment, you just do no harm anymore. You don't harm humanity or the earth. You know, you live in harmony with each other, and that's where we need to get as a civilization.
Absolutely. That's the whole thing right there. And I think you said, too, James, that the greatest UFO is our own physical body.
Oh, it is. We have the ability to spin our bands and raise in frequency. We do that. I've seen Michal do that as well, where he has pictures where you can see right through him and he's fading out. And they're amazing. And the same thing is happening here. I have pictures of myself doing that. And a lot of times I'll go into meditation. I have this really nice little mound here I meditate on. And I come out of meditation, I'll walk up to a group, and there'll be 10 or 15 people there looking right at me, and they don't even see me. And until I start talking to them, and they jump out of their shoes, and they go, where'd you come from? And it's not that hard. You just have to raise your frequency a little bit, and you're just a little bit out of time, and you're basically invisible. It's kind of interesting.
And it isn't as hard as people think, and it isn't as unusual.
Yeah.
I know at the school, at RSC, there's quite a few photographs of people that are see-through, you know, in transition like that.
Yeah, in the presentation, I showed quite a few pictures of people you could see right through them.
It's fascinating, and how amazing what we have available to us right here in our own UFO body.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how you're going to experience these higher dimensions and these other beings, by getting out of your body. And I have another picture on the website, too, where you can see the band spinning, and you see one body leaving the other body and going out. And I show that in the talks as well, but when you understand that principle, then you've got the UFO down. I mean, you can go anywhere, and you can pop in on these massive ships and see what's on them and hang out with beings that would just blow your mind, you know.
And, that's something worth investigating, isn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. And it's so freeing, too. It's so freeing to know that you're eternal and that you have a body within a body and that, you know, this isn't the only game in town. And
yes, and that you are not your body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not part of our problem is we're overly attached to physicality, you know,
yes.
and getting past that really is quite liberating.
Yeah, I can't really, you know, with people, I have a hard time. I just can't do social consciousness anymore, and it upsets a lot of people, and they want me to go to bars and go here and go there, and I just said, if you saw what was hanging out in bars, you know, in the infrared and all these...
I've seen it.
Yeah, all these beings waiting to fulfill their addictions through you, you know, and one woman said, I love what she said. She said, you know, when you drink, you're not driving, you know? You know, the other entities are usually driving.
Something else driving.
Yeah, and I always thought that was kind of funny what she said. But, you know, it just gets the frequencies. You kind of feel a lot more comfortable in nature or with people of like mind that are moving in the same direction as you, and that's where you want to hang out.
Absolutely. Gosh, James, I have so enjoyed talking with you. And we may have to do another, host-to-host, two-for-one sometime.
Oh, anytime.
And thank you so much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on the show, and great questions. We'll have to do it again.
Oh, yeah, you're just so great to talk to. I could go on and on. Thanks again, James.
All right, thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. Well, everybody, that's all for now. I'll see you next time, which will be April 30th. I think on April 30th we're going to have an open mic night, which means I'm going to be giving readings, and you can get a sample of how I do my work. That's April 30th, same time, 6:55 PDT, open mic. So if you have questions about your life, et cetera, give me a call, and I'll tell you what I see about you. I'm going to send you out now with the CD I'll get it out in a minute. I'm having a verbal typo. I'm going to send you out with the CD Hidden Worlds by Randy Mead and David Michael, track 7, Invisible Tourist, in honor of our greater family that we visited about tonight. See ya. Bye.